The financial crisis 10 years on will catch up with the woman who saw it coming. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. First, Broadcom of Singapore campaigned, cajoled, flattered, but in the end, the Trump administration has now blocked its planned hostile takeover of microchip maker Qualcomm of San Diego. The administration cites national security for stopping the $117 billion purchase after a federal panel that reviews proposed international mergers came to the same conclusion. Broadcom says there is no threat to U.S. security and is reviewing options now. My colleague Molly Wood, host of Marketplace Tech, is following this.
Broadcom is based in Singapore. We are not necessarily concerned about Singapore spying on the United States, but this is part of a pattern toward trying to keep Asian competitors out of similar businesses and out of the infrastructure of the United States. The United States has effectively banned the Chinese manufacturer Huawei and ZTE from using wireless equipment in government contracts, because we're concerned that the Chinese government could essentially have a tap on the lines.
Now, this blocked merger comes at a time when telecom companies around the world are thinking about a new generation of wireless communication. It's called 5G, and it would be way faster, fast enough to let driverless cars talk to each other and link all manner of appliances into the so-called Internet of Things.
Qualcomm and Broadcom have both been working on 5G technology, and this is considered profoundly essential to the future of wireless networking. And the U.S. is concerned that Broadcom, which is known for having a pretty lean operation, might cut money for research and development into 5G technologies, so much so that it could allow Chinese competitors to jump in and essentially fill that void. Now, if Huawei or another Chinese manufacturer becomes the only game in town for 5G infrastructure technology, then the government would have to buy equipment from one of these companies. And again, you get to this sort of wiretapping concern.
Marketplace's Molly Wood, who's host of Marketplace Tech. Now, Broadcom, based in Singapore now, was started by a professor and student from UCLA. Let's do the numbers. The 100-share index in London has just turned up 2 points. Dow and S&P futures are up in the 2 to 3/10% range. Years ago this week, what had seemed like a fixture on Wall Street found itself on the brink of collapse. The investment bank Bear Stearns would then get bought up by J.P. Morgan Chase, an outcome pushed by government officials worried about the financial system unraveling. If only someone had seen the financial crisis coming and sounded some warning, any warning? Well, today a conversation with someone who had warned early and often. First at the Treasury Department, then at the FDIC, which insures bank deposits, Sheila Bair, as early as 2001, was saying that risky real estate loans were a disaster waiting to happen. As she speaks with me here in 2018, she remains critical of regulators.
I regret that there was too much focus on the impact on the banks and the losses that the banks were suffering, and not about on the underlying driver of the crisis, which was all these unaffordable mortgages. That hurt the economic recovery because we had this huge mortgage debt overhang that was depressing consumer spending and never really dealt with that core problem as effectively as we should have.
So March of 2008, 10 years ago, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, which you're running at the time, Bear Stearns is not the sort of institution the FDIC is most focused on. But as Bear Stearns, this Wall Street powerhouse, becomes unglued, there must have been grave concern about knock-on effects that your staff was looking at.
You know, I think there's still a real question in my mind whether the Fed intervened in that to assist J.P. Morgan Chase in acquiring Bear Stearns. I do think it set up an expectation that the government was just going to prop everybody up. So I think the government needs to be very careful when they intervene. You create distortions, you create expectations. And we need to protect taxpayers. That needs to be a primary objective. And, you know, I think all these bailouts that we did, starting with Bear Stearns, created a lot of cynicism in the public. You know, well, we're playing by the rules and nobody's bailing us out. I think it created a lot of resentment, and I think we still feel that in kind of the populist movement we have today.
Now, you were the first chair of the Systemic Risk Council. That's the private sector one. And between that group and the government's Financial Stability Oversight Council, can I assume that it's all under control now? We'll never have another financial crisis?
Well, I don't. It's better. It's certainly better. And, you know, I have, notwithstanding some of the agreements and disagreements we had with other regulators, I think everybody has worked very hard since the crisis to put rules in place to improve capital cushions at banks. This was another huge driver of the crisis, getting those levels up. I mean, that's really what absorbs losses. So I hats off to the regulators, but is it fixed? No, I don't think it is.
And, of course, there's some pressure to roll back some of these post-financial crisis
rules. There is, absolutely is. Yes, thank you. There's a bill moving through the Senate that has many good provisions that address issues, regulatory issues associated with community and regional banks, which I think are good. But there is a provision tucked in that bill that would help large banks and could significantly reduce many large banks' capital levels, which I think is very ill-advised. These are good times now for banks. I mean, profits are up, lending's up. They just got this big tax cut. They really should be building their capital cushions and preparing for the next downturn.
Sheila Bair was the chair of the FDIC from 2006 through 2011. She was the founding chair of the Systemic Risk Council. Dr. Bair, thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Now, Marketplace's Kai Ryssdal is going to be talking to three other top people who tried to keep the financial system afloat 10 years ago, Fed Chair Bernanke and two Treasury Secretaries, Paulson and Geithner. Well, what should he ask them? Send us your questions via Facebook, Marketplace APM. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.